In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are two things I want to tell you today. The first is, and I hate to share this idea with you, but Abraham may be one of our patriarchs, but he was a jerk. I mean, seriously, think about all the things that he did. You may not remember this, but when he and Sarah were traveling through Egypt, he wanted to ingratiate himself to the Pharaoh, mostly because he was afraid of him. So he introduced Sarah as his sister and gave blessing to the ruler having a relationship with his beautiful wife, and in return got expensive gifts galore. Of course, the Pharaoh found out the truth pretty quickly, and he shipped Sarah back to Abraham and threw them both out of the country. Abraham was still able to take all the riches with him. He was incredibly lucky, but any way you look at it, it was not an honorable thing for a patriarch to do. Then, because Abraham wasn't able to have a child with Sarah, and he was probably a pain in the neck about it, Sarah recommended that he try to have a son with her servant, Hagar. And he did. And he fathered Ishmael. But the crazy stuff doesn't even stop there. When Sarah gets pregnant at about the age of 90, because God has promised that Abraham will father a great nation, she delivers a boy child, Isaac. When the boys were still young, as you heard in the reading today, Sarah got jealous and had Abraham throw Hagar and his son Ishmael out into the desert. And he does it. God gives him permission, telling him not to worry because he will also make Ishmael the father of a great nation. Well, then there was the time that Abraham took Isaac out and was within a whisker of sacrificing Isaac on the altar to God. But we don't even need to worry about that at this time because that's coming up next Sunday. It's enough to remember that God had an amazing covenant with Abraham, even though Abraham was, as one writer stated, a complete twit. One additional thing that might be interesting to you is that Abraham is the patriarch of Jews and Christians, since Jesus can be traced back to Isaac and Abraham, and Ishmael starts the line from Abraham to Muhammad, so Abraham is also the patriarch of the Muslims. One part of the story we heard today stands out for me. I feel great sympathy with Hagar, and I'm frankly offended on her behalf that the family to which she had been in service, to the point of having a son so that the husband will have an heir, treated her with such contempt. We know that women's lives weren't worth a lot back then, but I think God should have suggested that Abraham find a better solution. For that matter, he could have blessed Sarah with a son before the other possibilities even popped into their mind. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? The thing that you must remember, however, is that God made a very important covenant with Abraham, no matter how imperfect he was. And Abraham kept the covenant with God, no matter how extreme the circumstances became. The second thing I want to talk about today is the gospel. Regardless of Jesus's over-the-top warnings to his followers about danger, he obviously doesn't want us to turn against our families and hate our parents or children or our siblings or anyone else. His major commandment was to love others as you are loved. He was making the point that following him is not always easy, and that's the truth. In the middle of his scary, cautionary words, he suddenly talked about sparrows. Those little tiny birds were meat for the poor and were sold 2 for a penny. Yet these small, insignificant creatures are precious to God. Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Jesus knew that God pays special attention to those who are poor, struggling, and suffering. God cares. They are not alone. Our world doesn't always behave in accordance with God's will. I recently read a story about a man named Kenneth Feinberg, who chaired the September 11th Victim Compensation Fund, which gave money to the victims of the families of each of the victims who died in the 2001 terror attacks. Starting with a formula and then using his discretion, Feinberg considered the victims' age, their dependents, whether they had life insurance, and their income and earning potential, and so on. The value assigned to those lost lives varied dramatically. As little as $250,000 for blue-collar workers, and as much as $7.1 million for executives. Feinberg later reflected on his experience. As I met with the 9/11 families and wrestled with the issues surrounding the valuation of lives lost, I began to question the basic premise of our legal system, he said in an interview with NPR. Trained in the law, I had always accepted that no two lives were worth the same in financial terms. But now I found the law in conflict with my growing belief in the equality of all life. To Jesus, our value does not lead to compensation or a guarantee of safety. It means that we receive attention. The God who cares for the welfare of sparrows also keeps track of every aspect of human lives, even tallying up the hairs on your head. As Paul reminds us, we are already fully known, known more deeply than we even know ourselves. At Avonlea, we frequently sing the old gospel, "His eye is on the sparrow." Do you know it? It's a wonderful song. That was a comforting song for slaves who knew exactly what their value was in terms of money. And they also knew that they were worth nothing. They were overlooked, brutalized, and exploited by people. We don't sing that song here, but perhaps it might not hurt to look it up and commit it to memory. We need to be reminded that God watches each one of us with love and care in his heart. What a great gift we have been given. You may want to know the rest of the story about Kenneth Feinberg, I suspect. After the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund completed its work, he received a call from the president of Virginia Tech, asking him to manage the fund that would distribute compensation to the families of the students and faculty killed in the 2007 mass shootings. He said, "I realized that Feinberg the citizen could do more than Feinberg the lawyer. My legal training would no longer stand in the way. This time, all the victims, students and faculty alike, would receive exactly the same compensation." Sparrows and disciples alike, we know he watches us. To God, we matter. In God's sight, there are no unimportant lives. Amen.